This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
We go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Atlanta is where the NFL owners met for the last couple of days. It's where the policy was decided upon for the national anthem. When we go to Atlanta, SBNations.com's great NFL writer Harry Lyles Jr. joining us here on the program. Harry, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Matt, how's it going, buddy?
Going great. I wanted you on, and I would have had you on regardless of where the meetings were, but since it was in Atlanta, I thought it was even more perfect to have you on. I guess the first question is, what is your reaction to the NFL's rule change when it comes to the anthem?
It's not a good rule change, obviously for many reasons, but it was kind of baffling because it seems like they really didn't put that much thought into it. You know, they discussed this for, I believe, they said 3 hours on Tuesday and then took another hour yesterday to discuss this. And, you know, it's kind of funny when you come out on something that's basically been, you know, what some people would call an issue in your league now for going on almost 2 years. And that's the best that you can do. Like, they didn't even have specific numbers for fines in place for punishing clubs that had players that protest. So it seems like a really incomplete thing. And honestly, it's unfortunate because I think we all kind of know the jig here. You know, the NFL doesn't exactly care about the players and their causes. They care about making money and making sure that, you know, this train keeps going. And for them, they're doing just enough to keep who they believe to be the majority of their fan base happy by instituting this rule. So it's a very mixed bag, but one that doesn't have really any good pieces in it.
Yesterday, when Roger Goodell came out, Harry, to the media, he said it was a unanimous decision by the NFL owners. And then we found out that the 49ers, the team that had Colin Kaepernick that started this whole thing with Eric Reid as well, they were the ones deciding to abstain from this vote. So it was unanimous, but only unanimous among those who voted. We now know the Jets aren't really in favor of a fine. They'll pay the fine for the players if the players do protest. What does it say to you that even though it was, quote, unanimous, there are some owners willing to come out and say, we're not in favor of this?
I think this is one of those instances, and a lot of people either don't know this or don't believe it, but at the end of the day, those 32 owners, and honestly, this doesn't even just go for the NFL, really, it goes just across sports, that fraternity is not the correct word. Brotherhood is not necessarily the correct word either, but they're definitely going to look out for the majority. And for them to speak out on this particular issue was a little bit more surprising to me, just because I don't expect any of the 32 to actually, you know, take what the players have in mind and what they're actually raising as a concern seriously. But to me, it's one of those things where, and you mentioned, you know, Jed York and obviously with the Jets, like, they're opening a new can of worms here, and I think they're going to ultimately regret doing this as opposed to having just not done anything at all. Because, I mean, if we're being honest, this discussion was kind of fading away in the first place.
It's a great point, Harry Lyles, SB Nation, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. There is a story out today in the Bleacher Report, on the Bleacher Report, that says, quote, our league is bleeping terrified of Trump. We're scared of him. And that factors into my theory that this is not necessarily about the players or even the NFL. This is about a talking point that the president has made on the stump. He made it on Monday of this week, when NASCAR went to the White House and Martin Truex Jr. was up there and Brian France and the rest of the NASCAR folks were getting praised for their anthem. And we know that NASCAR drivers stand and we know that all the fans stand and blah, blah, blah. That the owners are afraid of the president for a variety of reasons, not ratings and not ticket sales, but I think they're just afraid of him in general from a business standpoint. Would you agree that this is about a fear of the president?
I think it's fair to say that that's part of it. But at the same time, if they were so afraid of him, one, why didn't they take more time to make sure the thing was going to be bulletproof from a Trump perspective? And two, just, you know, honestly, like, what is Trump going to do? I know they claim that they don't want him to use the NFL as a chip in the primaries, but also, like, how much do you really think that, like, the NFL owners are invested in this thing? I understand that these men have, you know, outside ventures and are very successful businessmen, which is why they are NFL owners in the first place, because you have to have an absurd amount of money to own an NFL franchise. But at the same time, exactly, like, how much, like, damage is that doing to you specifically, right? I mean, like, these guys are all at a point where, I mean, this is obviously why I've gotten into sports, is because it's something I care about. I don't necessarily know or care about, like, the business aspect of whatever these guys are doing outside of this thing. But just on the surface, it seems to me like there would be a hell of a lot that Trump and the rest of whatever his party or his supporters would want to do in order for them to say, oh, my gosh, we're so afraid of him, and how he's going to use our league as something to, you know, make change in other arenas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I guess my retort to that would be that these owners all have corporations and business interests outside of the United States, and have mega like Robert Kraft owns Gillette, right? And he does business internationally. We know that Jerry Jones is in oil and gas. There's all these things that are involved in other governmental activities that I feel like these owners, aside from being a lot aligned politically with the president on a lot of things, these guys are afraid of what the government could do if Trump wanted to get after them, per se. And I know that's a vindictive president, but I'm sorry, I believe this president is vindictive. He will go after businesses. He's gone after Amazon. He's gone after other companies. So I think they actually are afraid of him, not from an NFL standpoint, but from an other business standpoint. That's why they're afraid of what the federal government might look like with regulations against their companies or whatever, or just damaging public statements towards those guys if Trump wanted to do so. Do you think there's any possibility these guys are just looking out for their bottom line, their own dollars here?
I think that's fair, and you brought up a good point that a lot of these guys have international business, and I think that we all can agree that there's a lot, perhaps, that is going on in other parts of the world with Trump that we don't know about.
Right. Right. And we have scandals like crazy. Right. I mean, we have scandals all over the place. We have Qatar getting threatened to go ahead and give a loan to Jared Kushner that was reported in the New York Times. So I'm sorry if I'm not going to sit here and say that there aren't business opportunities sitting in front of these owners that might mean billions for them that Trump could derail if he wanted to. So, I mean, that might be a conspiracy theory type of thought, but we've seen it play out already where these guys really – the NFL teams, that's their toy. Their real main source of income and business are their other things that they're doing that they want to make sure the president gives them, either tax breaks or whatever, that they might get into. So I'm sorry if I don't see a bigger picture here, but that's why I think they're really afraid of Trump.
Yeah, I don't think that's extremely far-fetched, but I'm also obviously just not a professional or the smartest guy when it comes to those outside ventures, because it's just not something that that I look into. But to your point, yeah, it's entirely possible. There's a lot of stuff even beyond, like, you know, the smallest of circles in the NFL that we just don't know about.
Now, this story broke on the same day the Sterling Brown video came out from Milwaukee. And I can't look past the sheer irony of the fact that we're talking about anthem protests, which have nothing to do with the anthem and nothing to do with the flag. But the owners just went ahead and confirmed that false narrative by changing their rules in this way. And then we get a clear example as to why these players are kneeling down to begin with when it comes to police brutality and the police issues we have inside of our inner cities. What was your reaction to seeing both those stories broke at the sprick at the same time?
I thought that was very funny. But at the same time, I think one important thing to remember here is that the NFL owners don't actually care about the issues at hand, which also kind of goes back to your point of, you know, what is essentially the target of all this, right? Like, is it actually on the issue? Is it on, do we actually, you know, does Roger Goodell and the rest of the owners actually care about, quote unquote, what is respect for the flag, which is a hilariously subjective thing to try to define, especially for the NFL, which took over $5 million from the Department of Defense. It's one of those things where I guess that's a funny coincidence. I mean, but that statement by the Bucks, not to get too far off subject here, was incredibly powerful. And something that you would never, ever see in the NFL. And honestly, you know, a lot of people like to try to say, well, oh, certain things in the NFL would never happen in the NBA, which kind of true, kind of not true. But even for an NBA franchise, I'm sure you read the statement that the Bucks put out. That was incredibly strong for a sports institution to come out and say that, which I mean, you got to really applaud them for it. Because, you know, the Kings kind of made what I would argue to be a half foot in the door, half foot out effort when it came to their whole deal that my good colleague Tyler Tynes went and explored a couple of months ago. But it's just interesting. It's very interesting. We're living in a very, very interesting time. And I think while the rule that the NFL instituted is not a good one, it might not be the worst thing for players, only because we're going to keep being able to have this discussion. And it's going to be on a grand platform. And, you know, pitchforks are going to continue to be raised. Activism will be had. Colin Kaepernick, while he's not in the league anymore, and probably Eric Reed won't be either, are still going to be around. There's other players that will, you know, now. And mind you, part of the rule was that, you know, that they can still punish players that go ahead and go out there and kneel or, you know, raise a fist or whatever. And, you know, there's been reports yesterday that players are now going to do it out of spite, you know, because the league is sending this message that, you know, they really just don't care about y'all. So this thing is very much far from over, which, I mean, I'm kind of excited about, because as much as they tried to silence these black voices, they can't and they won't.
Well, in the NBA example, has been used by a lot of people who are saying, wait a minute, this is a private organization. The NFL can do what they want with their employees. The NBA's had a rule for a very long time about this, and they did silence somebody who was a Muslim back in the 90s who wanted to kneel down during the anthem, and they passed a rule that said you couldn't do that. And I think the reason why you're not seeing that right now in the NBA is because you have the commissioner coming out and saying, we're not going to stick to sports, and we're going to encourage activism. We're going to encourage reaching out to our communities, and there's a trust there with the ownership. You know, Donald Sterling's a story, clearly a problem, but they quickly got rid of him when things came out with him and the words he stated, you know, even though in private he was recorded saying racist things. Isn't there a trust there between the players and the NBA with their owners that simply is not there in the NFL?
I think there's more of a trust. I'm much more hesitant to say that NBA owners are better than NFL owners just because, you know, they're basically coming from the same crop of person. You know, they're billionaires multiple times over, things of that nature. But the thing that the NBA has going for them, and you touched on this, is that they actually, you know, let players do their activism, like, off the court. And they actually, you know, the NBA Cares initiative, while it's not something that a lot of people know about, it's something that everybody has an idea of because you see the commercials. They've been doing this thing for years. I mean, as long as I've been watching basketball, I can, you know, think of seeing, you know, guys like Kobe Bryant or Shaquille O'Neal or, you know, name any player on these NBA Cares commercials. And with the NFL, you know, that didn't become a thing until it was like, you know, players are taking knees. They're already doing activism off the field. But the way the NFL approached it was basically they're trying to buy knees and fists.
That's a great point.
And you know, it's not something necessarily that they're clearly into because of, you know, yesterday's implementation of this ridiculous policy.
That's a great point. Harry, I'm out of time, bud, but thank you for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Matt. We'll do it again.
Absolutely. It's Harry Lyles Jr. from SB Nation, SBNation.com. Great stuff on the NFL and on the anthem. And look, again, you tell me, what is appropriate respect? That is the terminology. Appropriate respect. The ambiguity, how ambiguous this rule is, shows you how half-hearted it was and how it should have been done over time, and the NFLPA should have been involved. The fact that they were not involved is all you need to know about how the NFL is viewing this topic. This is their fist, their heel, and they're going to put the NFL players underneath it, whether they like it or not. More on it next. It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio.